This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Lesson number 31, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 229-233. الطلاق مرتان. Divorce is twice. فإمساكم بمعروف. Then either keep her in an acceptable manner, أو تسريحٌ بإحسان, or release her with good treatment. The following verses are specifically with regards to talaq, they're with regards to divorce, and the rulings that are related to it. Islam is a complete way of life, which is why in our deen, we have not only been instructed as to how to pray salah, how to perform the hajj, how to fast in the month of Ramadan, how to do dhikr, but also, if the need arises, how to give divorce. Rulings pertaining to marriage, how to get married, what are the rights and responsibilities of the husband and wife, all of them are explained in detail. All of them are given in detail. And if the need arises, then the instructions pertaining to divorce have also been given clearly. We see that a home is made with a family, especially through the relationship that is between a husband and wife. And if for some reason the husband and wife are not able to give the rights of each other, they're not able to live together, then no person has been burdened with what he cannot bear. There is a way out that has been made for the husband and wife in such a case. And that way is the way of divorce. Now remember that divorce in the general sense is not something that is recommended. However, if the need arises, then it is permissible. If there is a particular situation in which both the husband and wife cannot live together because of whatever reason, then the option of divorce is there. And we see that divorce does not take place in normal conditions. It does not take place in normal circumstances in which the husband and wife are both fine, they're living a happy life, and all of a sudden they decide to divorce. No. Divorce happens in unusual circumstances. In circumstances, in situations where both the man and woman are overcome by their emotions. And generally, in such situations, people don't follow the commands that have been given, and instead they follow their desires. Whatever they wish to do, whatever they want to do. And they overlook the commands, or they overlook what is correct. So over here, the command of divorce has been explained very clearly, and the reminder of observing that which is acceptable is mentioned again and again to remind the believer that even in this situation, it's not his desires that should drive him. He should follow the commands of Allah. He should observe the instruction, the guidance that Allah has given. So that the decision of divorce is not just an emotional decision, but rather it is a conscious decision. So over here Allah says, "الطلاقُ مرتان." Divorce is twice. الطلاق, as you know, is from the root letters طا, لام, قاف. And طلاق literally means to untie something, to open something up, to set something free. And طلاق is to dissolve the marriage contract. And in particular, طلاق is given by the man to the woman, through which the woman is set free from the wedlock. So basically, طلاق is given by who? By the man to the woman. If you translate it as the word divorce, in English the word divorce is used in both ways, the man giving the divorce or the woman giving the divorce. However, in Arabic, the word طلاق in particular is when a man gives divorce to the woman so that the woman is set free. The woman is released from the contract that she was bound in. So, الطلاق مرتان. And the word مرتان is a dual of the word مرتن. And مرة means a time, one time, an occasion. So, مرتان, the ألف نون التين indicates dual. So, مرتان means at two different occasions, two times. What does it mean by الطلاق مرتان? Basically, الطلاق over here refers to طلاق الرجعي. Remember that there are two types of divorce. طلاق الرجعي and طلاق that is بائن. طلاق الرجعي is the revocable divorce. What does it mean by that? That a man, upon giving this divorce, he can reconcile with his wife again. Meaning both the man and woman can be together after this divorce. And طلاق البائن is a final divorce after which the man and woman cannot be together. They cannot get married together, and during their iddah, the man can also not do rujur to the woman. Over here, الطلاق refers to the revocable divorce, a رجعي divorce. That طلاق الرجعي, you only have two chances for that. It's only مَرَّةً بَعْدَ مَرَّةٍ. It's only two chances. Revocable divorce, a person has only two chances. Now we see that before Islam, the Arabs, they would give divorce to their wives. A man would give divorce to his wife. And during their iddah, he would take her back. He would do rujur. Then, he would give divorce again. And during their iddah, he would do rujur to her. And this could happen up to 100 times without any limit. That a person would continue to give divorce and he would continue to take his wife back. And so in this way, the woman would suffer. That she was being mistreated throughout her life and she was also not free to get rid of that husband or to go marry somebody else. Once a man came to his wife and he said to her, "I will neither divorce you nor take you back." She asked how, and he said, "I will divorce you, and when your term of iddah nears its end, I will take you back. I will divorce you, and as soon as your iddah comes to an end, what will I do? I will take you back." So she went up to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she told him about what happened, and then Allah revealed, "الطلاق مرتان," that revocable divorce, you only have two chances for that. You cannot keep divorcing and you cannot keep taking the woman back. No. You only have two chances, not more than that. So, الطلاق مرتان. So we see that the revocable divorce or طلاق مرتان refers to that divorce in which a man pronounces the divorce and then he reconciles. And then what happens? After some time, he pronounces the divorce again and he reconciles. Now, if he pronounces divorce the third time, what does that mean? They cannot get back together again. That's it. They have become haram upon each other. So, الطلاقُ مَرَّتَانِ. Then Allah says, فَإِمْسَاكٌ, then holding back, بِمَعْرُوفٍ, in a good manner. Meaning, either keep her in an acceptable manner, أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ, or release her, set her free, let her go with good treatment. What does it mean by this? The word imsak is from the root letters meem, seen, kaf, mask. And imsak is to hold on to something. It is to retain something that one already has. It is to retain something, to keep something that one already has. So just imagine a rope that you're holding on to. What is imsak? To keep holding on to it. Do not let it go. It is not to hold something that you were not previously holding. But what is it? It is to retain something that a person is holding on to from before. It is to guard something and to not let something go. فَإِمْسَاكٌ, then either keep who? Keep the wife. Keep the woman. How? بِمَعْرُوفِ, in a manner that is acceptable, in a manner that is good. And what is مَعْرُوف? From عُرْف. What does عُرْف mean? That which is known, that which is recognized. So مَعْرُوف is anything that is acceptable to, that is approved by one's عَقْل, by one's intellect. Also, it is acceptable by the Sharia, by the religion of Allah. And thirdly, it is also acceptable in the culture. Many times we see that when people come towards the deen, they say that culture is absolutely nothing. And they abandon the culture completely. And they go against the culture, they go against the norms of the society. And they say, but this is permissible in our religion. Okay, it may be permissible in your religion. But ma'ruf is that which is acceptable to the religion as well as the society that you're living in. Because it's not possible that you're living with people and you're going against what is acceptable to them. Sometimes, yes, what is in the culture does not make sense at all, or it contradicts the religion. So that a person can leave. But what is the norm is the norm. So imsakum bima'roof, then either keep her in a manner that is good. What does it mean by this? Over here, basically, the man is being warned that if you have given the divorce twice to your wife, now you have to make up your mind. Either you're going to keep her in a good manner for the rest of your life, and good manner means don't divorce her again. Or good manner means that live with her without harming her. Live with her without harming her. And if you don't wish to live with her, then make the decision and أو تسريحٌ بإحسان, or let her go with good treatment. The word تسريح is from the root letter سين را ح. And تسريح is to release something. It is to let something go, to discharge, to dismiss. So let go, set free. Set free who? The woman. In what way? In a manner that is of إحسان. In a manner that is very beautiful. In a manner that is very good. So basically we see that the man is being told to make his decision. If he wants to continue to live with the wife, then he has to live in a manner that is good. And what does that mean? We learn in the Quran in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live with them in kindness. Live with them in a manner that is acceptable for you, for your wife, and also for the society. That there should be no injustice. There should be no injustice. Live in an appropriate manner, without harming her. And if you don't wish to live with her, then let her go. How should you let her go? With ihsan. What does it mean by ihsan? Don't push her out of the house. Don't shout at her. Don't treat her rudely. But if you wish to divorce her, finally, if you don't wish to keep her anymore, then release her in a beautiful and good way, with kindness, with giving extra gifts. This is how some have also understood this. That when you're letting her go, when you've given the final divorce, and she's finally leaving your house after their iddah, then you should set her off in a good way by giving her extra gifts, without creating any difficulty for her. We see that the relationship between a husband and wife is a very close relationship. As we learned earlier, that both are like libas to each other. There is absolutely no shield that is between the two, no veil that is between the two, and both are very close to each other. Both are a source of comfort for each other, as if they are the two parts of the same body. So, at the time of divorce, when the relationship is being ended, it is as though a limb is being amputated. It is as though a limb, a part of the body, is being cut off. And just as when a part of a body is being cut off, the process is very painful. It is extremely painful. Similarly, when the man and wife are going through divorce, it is a process that is painful for both the man and the woman. It is very painful, it is difficult for the man and the woman. But especially it is painful for the woman. Which is why the men are being told that when you let her go, then let her go with ihsan. Treat her kindly at that time. Treat her in a good way, with generosity at that time. So if you wish to divorce your wife, then do so in a manner in which there is ihsan. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ, and it is not lawful for you. يَحِلُّ from halal. أَن تَأْخُذُوا, that you all take. مِمَّا, from that which. آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ, you all gave them. شَيْئًا, anything at all. It is not permissible for you, O you men, O male spouses, the men who are divorcing their wives, it is not lawful for you. What is not lawful for you? That you take from the wife whom you are divorcing anything that you gave her. مِمَّا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ شَيْئًا. Anything that you gave the woman while you were married to her, at the time of divorce, you're not allowed to take it back. What does it mean by this? At the time of marriage, the man gives mahr to the woman. Isn't it so? And besides the mahr, he may give some extra gifts. While the two are married, it's possible that he gives her gifts. Maybe he buys the house in her name. Maybe he gives her some extra jewelry or some extra money or a bank account on her name. So anything that a man gives to his wife, whether at the time of marriage or afterwards, he is not allowed to take it back at the time of divorce. And notice the word is shay'an. What does shay'an mean? Anything at all. No matter how big or how small. No matter how big or how small. You gave it to her, it belongs to her. Now that you're divorcing her, you cannot take it back. It is not lawful for you. It is not permissible for you at all. We see that even in the case where the nikah only took place, the marriage only took place, but the marriage was not consummated. What does it mean by that? That the man and woman, they're not living together. Sometimes it happens that the nikah takes place and after a year or two, then the husband and wife begin to live together. So if the nikah took place, the mahr was fixed, but the mahr was not given. Okay? And the man and woman are not living together. The marriage was not consummated. And if the man gives divorce to the woman, even in that case, what is he supposed to do? He is supposed to give her half of the mahr. Because he fixed the mahr, but he never gave it. So for example, at the time of nikah, he said, I'm going to give her $10,000. But he says that I will give to her once we consummate the marriage, once we begin living together. Suppose they never got together. And the marriage was dissolved. So at that situation even, what is a man supposed to do? He is supposed to give her half of the mahr that was fixed. How much would that be? In this example that I gave you, 5,000. So we see that at the time of divorce, because the man is the one who is giving divorce to the wife, therefore he cannot take back anything from her. Anything from her. No matter how big or how small. Illa, except. Except in one situation. What does it mean by that? That there is only one situation in which a man can take back from the woman what he had given her at the time of marriage. And what is that situation? An that yakhafa. They too fear. Notice the alif at the end. What does that indicate? Dual. Two. Tathniya. And yakhafa, as you know, is from the root letters kha wa fa, khawf, which means fear, which is to expect some danger or harm in the future. So they fear. And over here, fear implies knowledge. It gives a meaning of knowledge. That they both know. They're certain. Who does two refer to? The man and the woman. The married couple. They both fear Allah that not. Now notice Allah has a fatha on the hamza. It's not illa except. It's Allah. And Allah is a combination of an meaning that and la meaning not. So both fear that they will not be able to yuqima, establish. They will not be able to maintain. Yuqima is the same as yuqimuna salah. What does it mean to establish something perfectly by fulfilling all of its components, all of the necessary parts? So both of them fear, meaning they know, they are certain, that they will not be able to maintain the hudud Allah, the hudud of Allah, the limits, the boundaries that Allah has set. Hudud is a plural of had. And what does had mean? The limit of something, the boundary of something. And remember that hudud Allah is a term that is used for either the commands that Allah has given or the prohibitions, that Allah has set. So it refers to either the commands or the prohibitions. Over here, in the context, Hudud Allah specifically refers to the rights and responsibilities of the husband and wife to each other. The rights and responsibilities of the husband and wife to each other. So, imagine a couple who got married, and they know that they're not going to be able to fulfill the rights and responsibilities that they are supposed to give to each other, that are due to each other. For example, the wife does not like the husband at all. Not because of his deen, not because of his manner, but perhaps physically. Or the man does not like the woman. So in this situation, the man gave mahr to the woman, making her lawful for himself. But the contract that was made, the relationship that was established, it's not going to work out anymore. They cannot give the rights to each other. They cannot fulfill the responsibilities that they're obligated with to each other. So in this situation, what's going to happen? They cannot live with each other. They're not fulfilling the rights of each other. So in this situation, the marriage contract is going to be dissolved. And because they cannot fulfill the rights of each other, and the man gave the mahar to the woman, so what's going to happen? The mahar is going to be returned to the husband. Because he gave that mahar to establish this relationship. But this relationship is not working out. So in this case, what he gave is going to be returned to her. Just as, for example, you go buy something. You go buy a membership. It's not working out for you. What are you going to do? You're going to return it, and you're going to get a refund. So similarly, this relationship is not working out. So therefore, the mahar is going to be returned to the husband. So over here Allah says, إِلَّا أَن يَخَافَ أَلَّا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. Except in a situation where both of them are not able to establish, they're not able to maintain the limits, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has set for them. For example, we learn from the companions, Zainab radiallahu anha, who was a cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Zayd radiallahu anhu, who was he? The freed slave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Both of them got married, and both of them were very righteous. One was a freed slave, and one was a cousin. But because of the differences between them, one was a freed slave, and the woman was from a very noble family. Both were very righteous, but because of the differences, they were not able to live with each other. Zainab radhiyallahu anha could not like him because he was different. So it's not necessary that at the time of divorce, people are getting divorced because both of them are evil, or that because they're not righteous at all, they're not obedient to Allah. No. Sometimes it could be the simple reason of both of them not being able to like each other. So in this situation, the marriage will be dissolved, and what's going to happen? The mahar that the man gave is going to be returned to him. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ. So if you all feared, who does you all refer to? You all refers to the awliya, the relatives of the woman, or the ruler, the judge, the qadi. If you fear, أَلَّا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ, that the man and the woman are not going to be able to fulfill the responsibilities, fulfill the rights, then what? فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا, then there is no sin upon them too. Upon who too? Upon the man and the woman, those who were married. فِيمَا, in what? اِفْتَدَتْ بِهِ, she gave ransom. اِفْتَدَتْ is from the root letters فَادَلْيَا. What does the word فِدْيَا mean? Ransom, a compensation. Something that a person gives in order to free himself. So, the man and woman are not able to live with each other. And especially, the woman does not like the husband, or she does not wish to remain married to him. Especially from her side. Then in this situation, she is going to free herself. How? By returning the mahr to the husband. We see that when the man gives divorce, what is the word? Talaq. And what does that mean? To set free. And when he sets free, he cannot take the mahr back. But the woman, she wants to be freed from this bond. The man does not want to give divorce. The woman does not want to remain married. So in this situation, what's going to happen? The woman is going to ransom herself, meaning she's going to make herself free. How? By giving the mahar that the man had given to her. Because when the man gave her the mahar, she was free to him. She was halal for him. When she returns it, she's not halal for him anymore. So fima fadatbi. So the husband and wife, they're not able to keep within the limits of Allah. And the relatives, the family, the judge, he also knows that they're not going to be able to live with each other anymore. So in this situation, the woman is going to give the mahar back to the husband. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that the wife of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, she came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, O Messenger of Allah, I do not criticize the religion or manner of Shammas, but I hate committing kufr in Islam by ignoring his rights on me. I do not criticize the religion or the manner of my husband, but I cannot do this, that I am married to him and still I'm not giving him his rights. Because personally, I do not like him. I do not like him. And because I don't like him, I cannot give his rights. So I do not like to live in a state of Islam while disobeying Allah, while not fulfilling my obligations. So she said that I cannot stay with him. I cannot give him his right. And this is what? Allah yuqima hudud Allah. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will you give him back his garden? Which garden? The garden that he had given her as a gift, as mahar. And she said yes. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take back the garden and divorce her once. So she returned the garden and the marriage was dissolved. So the situation in which the woman, she returns the mahar and seeks the divorce, this is called khul'. Kha lam ayn. And khul' literally means removal of something, to remove something. We learn in the Quran, Musa alayhi salam was told, fakhla' na'alayk, remove your shoes, take your shoes off. So khul' means to remove. So when a woman takes khul', what is she doing? She is removing, she is getting rid of the responsibility or the contract that she was in, she was bound in the marriage. Now, what if the man gave some mahar to the woman at the time of marriage, and it was some money, and the woman spent it all? And if she wishes to take khul', what is she going to do? Is she going to say, I don't have it anymore? No. She has to get the equivalent, or she has to get the amount ready, and then she's going to give that to the man. And their iddah in this case, their iddah, the waiting period for the woman is how long? One menstrual cycle. She's going to wait for 1 month. Where? Not in the house of the husband, because she is free now. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limits set by Allah. فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. So do not transgress them. تَعْتَدُو is from عِنْدَال. Well, and عَدَى يَعْدُو. What does it mean? To go beyond the limits, to transgress, اِعْتِدَى, to transgress, to overstep the limits. And اِعْتِدَى in particular also means to do injustice against someone, to commit injustice against someone. Over here we see, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. These are the limits, boundaries that Allah has set, so do not transgress them, meaning don't go beyond them. Don't get out of them. In the Quran, for some other commands we read, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. One is to not approach the limits, and the other is to not exceed, meaning to not get out of the limits. There is a difference between the two. Where it is stated, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا, it refers to the commands. It refers to the commands that the believers must observe. And if they don't observe, what are they doing? They are crossing the limits that Allah has set. This is a command, you have to do it. And if you don't do it, you're crossing the limits. And where it is stated, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا, do not approach them, then the hudud refers to the prohibitions. It refers to the prohibitions that the believers must stay away from, which is why it is said, don't even come near. Because if you come near, then you're going to commit those actions which are prohibited upon you. So over here, because it has been said, فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا, what does it refer to? The commands, the commandments that must be observed, the instructions that have been given. So these, what does tilka refer to? That الطلاق مرتان, this is a command. فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ, this is a command. It is not permissible for you to take back anything that you have been given. This is a command. And the only situation in which a man may take back what he has given is the situation of khulu. So all of these are commands that you must observe and you must not neglect. لَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. Do not neglect them at all. Do not transgress them at all. So we see that hudud of Allah have been mentioned. And the hudud of Allah refers to the rights and responsibilities of the husband and wife to each other. Now what are some of the rights of the woman upon her husband? What are the responsibilities of a husband towards his wife? What are the rights of the woman when she's married to a man? What do they include? Fulfill the physical needs of the woman, fulfill the financial needs of the woman, take care of her, treat her kindly, عَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, live with them in a manner that is appropriate, doing ihsan to the woman. And what about the rights of the husband upon his wife? What are they? What do they include? Sometimes we only focus on the rights and not the responsibilities. Both have to be looked at. That first of all, the woman must obey the husband. She should guard his secrets. Then also, she should fulfill his physical needs just as the husband should fulfill her physical needs. So, these are the hudud of Allah and you must observe them. Many times, when it comes to the rights of the husband and wife, people become biased. And they say, no, just because he's a man, wife should have to listen to him. Well, you have to listen to him simply because Allah told you to. Simple. So these are the hudud of Allah. Allah has given these instructions, not the people. Therefore, even when a person is fulfilling the rights of his or her spouse, then what is he doing? He is obeying Allah. And because he's obeying Allah, this action also becomes a source of reward for him. And if he does not give the right of the spouse, then what are they doing? They're disobeying Allah. And they're not just harming the other person, but they're also harming themselves by disobeying Allah. So tilka hududullah, فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا, these are the limits of Allah, so do not transgress them. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ, and whoever transgresses the limits set by Allah, whoever crosses the boundaries, whoever does not observe the commands properly, then what is he doing? فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, then it is only such people who are wrongdoers. What does the word hum do? It gives a meaning of specification, that it is only such people who do dhulm. It is only such people who do dhulm. Now what is dhulm? It is naqs, to reduce the right of the other. Do not give to the other what he deserves. So when a person does not observe the limits that Allah has set, then what is he doing? He is doing dhulm upon the other. And we learn about dhulm. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. My servants, I have made oppression unlawful for me and unlawful for you. So do not commit oppression against one another. Zulm towards a spouse is not giving the haqq of the spouse. And when a person does not give the haqq of the spouse, by doing zulm, what is he doing? He is committing something that is haram. وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا, I have also made zulm haram upon you. And if a person does zulm anyway, he does not care about the commands of Allah, then what is he doing? He is creating difficulties for himself. As we learned that on the Day of Judgment, فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, indeed injustice will be darknesses on the Day of Judgment. Many times today, what happens? Especially when it comes to divorce. Why does divorce happen? Why are husband and woman separated from each other? Why does a woman demand for khul? Because either the man is not giving her right, he is oppressing her. For example, a man does not spend on the woman. He does not spend on the children. He expects the woman should bring the paycheck. And whatever money she brings, she is not allowed to spend even a penny on herself. She is supposed to give everything to the husband. Or sometimes, he will give her financially, only in limited amounts. He will not treat her with respect. He will be rude to her. He will insult her. He will not give any importance to her. And all the while, what does a man think? I am the man, I can do whatever I want. Or sometimes people think, so what if I do this? Nobody can say anything to me. However, we see that when a person does zulm, then what is he doing? He will be in darknesses on the day of judgment. He is committing something that is haram. On the other hand, sometimes women also do zulm upon the husband. How? By neglecting his rights. By not respecting him. Many times we say, oh, it's only in our culture that women should respect their husbands, or they should talk to them with respect. No, it's not just a part of culture, it's a part of deen. It's a part of deen. We learn from several narrations that the Sahabiyat, or the Sahabiyat, they would say to the women who were of the later generations, younger generations, that we would not speak to our husbands the way that you speak to your husbands. Many times we see that women treat their husbands as if they are children, as if they are their younger siblings. Yes, there should be frankness. There should be frankness. But frankness does not mean that a person comes down to disrespecting the other. And sometimes we see that women, with all the support that they have from their family, from their parents, from their siblings, what do? They neglect giving the haqq of the husband. And they expect that the husband should always listen to them. So, these are the limits of Allah. لَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. And whoever transgresses the limits of Allah, then they are the ones who are doing zulm. They are the ones who are harming themselves. Many times people do zulm thinking, nobody's going to question me. Nobody's going to call me to account. But the fact is that everybody is going to be called to account on the day of judgment. Let's listen to the recitation.
الطلاق مرتان فإمساك بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخافا ألا يقيما حدود الله فإن خفتم ألا يقيما حدود الله فلا جناح عليهما فيما افتدت به تلك حدود الله فلا تعتدوها ومن يتعد حدود الله فأولئك هم الظالمون.
As for the beginning of the ayah, الطلاق مرتان فإمساكم بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان, Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه said about this, that when the man divorces his wife twice, when a man has given divorce to his wife two times already, then let him fear Allah regarding the third time. He should either keep her with him and treat her with kindness, or let her go her own way with kindness, without infringing upon any of her rights. Because many times, what do people do? They do zulm upon the woman even after rujur, so that the woman does not take the mahr away. And they continue to oppress her, ignore her rights, not give her what she deserves, and expect her to take the khul' so that the mahr also comes back to the man. This is pure injustice. If a man has given talaq to his wife two times, then he should fear Allah with regards to the third time. And therefore, he should either keep her with kindness, or if he decides to let her go, then he should let her go with ihsan. Basically, what this means is that, inshallah, as we will read in the following verses, that when a man gives divorce to his wife, then what is the waiting period? 3 months. ثلاثة قروء, as we learned earlier. Now, the woman is going to spend that iddah in the house of the husband. During the iddah, if he wishes to, if he regrets and if he wishes to take her back, then he may do ruju. If he does not do ruju, what's going to happen? The marriage is going to be dissolved, the woman is going to go away, they're not married anymore. But if he does ruju in the waiting period, then what happens? Both of them are fine together. They are married. Now let's say after some time, after a year, after 2 years, or after 2 days of ruju, he says, no, I think it was a mistake, I should divorce her, I don't want her. So he divorces her again. That's a second divorce. Now once he has given the second divorce, he should be extremely careful, because he has only one more chance left. And the moment he pronounces a third divorce, that's it. No more ruju. They cannot get back together. So this is being said over here, that at-talaq marratan, revocable divorce, is only twice. You only have basically two chances. Because after the second divorce, then whatever decision you make is a final one. So either you're going to keep her in a good way, or you're going to let her go in a good way. Be careful. Because many times people take talaq to be a very casual thing. And they will divorce. And they will divorce again. Or they will divorce in one sitting 3 times. Without realizing the consequences. So over here, warning is being given that at-talaqu marratan. It is a permission, but don't misuse this. Let's look at some of the lessons that we learn. We see over here in this ayah that permission has been given to dissolve the marriage contract in a case where the marriage cannot last anymore. The man has been allowed to pronounce the divorce, and the woman has been allowed to take the khul. The woman has been allowed to take the khul. Now remember that although this is a permission, it should not be misused, and a man should not threaten his wife all the time that if you do this, I'm going to divorce you. He should not pronounce divorce over small issues, over petty issues, because divorce is a serious matter. It is something that affects the man and the woman. It is something that affects their children. It is something that affects their families. And if a person takes it very casually and he plays around with the commands of Allah, then he is not giving the due respect to the commands of Allah. Remember that the deen that Allah has given us, the laws that Allah has given us, they deserve some respect. That we should observe them properly. That we should apply them where they're relevant. So if a person is using divorce in every small fight, in every small argument, I divorce you, or I will divorce you if you do this, then he is not respecting the commands of Allah. Permission has been given, but it should be used in an appropriate way. We learn from a hadith that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed about a man who divorced his wife 3 times at once. What did he do? He divorced his wife 3 times in one instance, at one occasion. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up angrily. He became very angry and he stood up and he said, "Is the book of Allah played with while I am amongst you? Are you playing with the book of Allah? Are you playing with the commands of Allah while I am still amongst you?" So we see that if a person misuses the commands of Allah, then what is he doing? He's playing with the commands of Allah. And this is extremely disrespectful. Umar radhiyallahu anhu said, with regard to this issue, that a man would give divorce to his wife in one sitting 3 times, he said that people are being hasty with regard to a matter in which they should not rush. Let us count it as 3 and judge between people accordingly. So if any person gave divorce at his time, 3 divorces in one sitting, in one situation, in one instance, then he would consider it to be talaqul ba'in. He would consider it to be the final divorce, irrevocable divorce. And he would also lash the people. He would also lash those men who abused the commands of Allah. They're abusing the commands of Allah, and therefore they would be punished. Now the question is that if a man in one sitting he pronounces the divorce 3 times or 100 times or 1,000 times, then what is the reality of that divorce? Is it 1 divorce? Is it 3? Is it 5? How is it? How are we going to understand it? We see that there are 2 opinions with regards to this. That first of all, some say that it is considered to be 3 divorces. It is considered to be talaqul ba'in. So in one situation, a man says to his wife, talaq, talaq, talaq. Or I give you talaq, I give you talaq, I give you talaq. He says it 3 times or 50 times. Then this talaq, although it is 1 occasion, this is considered as the final divorce, irrevocable divorce. The man and woman cannot be together anymore. Other scholars say that no, this will be counted as 1 talaq only. Because what does Allah say? At-talaqu marratan. The revocable divorce is 2 times. And then the divorce after that, the 3rd divorce, is the final divorce, after which the man and woman do not come together. So other scholars say that no, even if the man pronounces the divorce 1,000,000 times, in one situation, in one sitting, in one incident, it will be considered how many divorces? Just 1, not more than 1. Because this is the command of Allah. Because if it could be 3 times just by saying talaq 3 times in one situation, then why would all of these commands be given? All of this detail would not have been given then. We see that in these verses so much detail has been given. That talaqu marratan, then imsak bi ma'roof, aw tasrihun bi ihsan, and then the iddah has been mentioned. So much detail has been given that would be completely unnecessary if talaq could be given in one situation 3 times. One more important thing that we learn from this ayah is that a woman can take divorce from the husband, and that is khul, in which a woman gives the mahar back to the man. However, it should only be in a situation that is genuine. Meaning just because a woman got hurt because of what the man said, or just because she doesn't like the way he eats, or she doesn't like the way he dresses, or she doesn't like his lifestyle, then for a small issue, for a petty issue, she should not seek divorce. It should only be in a genuine case. That no matter how much she tries, she just cannot get herself to like him. If she does not like him, she will not be able to give him his haqq. She will not be able to listen to him. She will not be able to obey him. So if it is something that is really genuine, only then she should seek divorce. Because if a woman seeks divorce without a genuine reason, we learn from a hadith that any woman who asks her husband for divorce without justification, then the fragrance of paradise will be forbidden for her. Because she is seeking divorce without any genuine reason. Sometimes it is just small issues that can be resolved, that can be compromised on. But many times people don't compromise. They don't understand, they don't accept. And a small situation that could be solved, a small issue that could be solved, it is magnified so much that the adverse effects are on the woman, they're on the man, they're on the children, they're on the rest of the family. So a woman who seeks divorce without justification, then the smell of Jannah, the fragrance of Jannah is forbidden upon her. Also another very important lesson that we learn from this ayah is that a woman can be the possessor of her own wealth. A woman can own wealth. She can. Because we see that فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا فِيمَا افْتَدَتْ بِهِ. She gives ransom. Obviously from what? By what she possesses, what is hers. So when the mahar is given to the woman at the time of marriage, who is it given to? The woman or her father? The woman. And who does it stay with? The woman or her husband? The woman, because it's hers. Obviously, if there is a mutual understanding, the woman says, you know, I don't know about these financial matters, I'm not good at keeping money, so you keep my money. That's completely different. However, if a woman wishes to keep her things on her own name, she is absolutely allowed to do so. As we learned earlier, that men and women have equal rights, except with just a few exceptions. فَإِن طَلَّقَهَا, then if he divorced her. What does it mean by that? That after مَرَّتَان, after the first 2 divorces, if the man gives divorce the third time to his wife, and which talaq is this? Talaqul ba'in, the irrevocable divorce, the final divorce. Then what's going to happen? فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ, then she will not be lawful for him. تَحِلُّ from halal. What does halal mean? Permissible. And you see the ta at the beginning? That indicates she. So the woman will not be lawful for him مِن بَعْدُ after that. If the man pronounces the third divorce, then the woman is not permissible for him at all after that. What does it mean by permissible? Meaning, a man cannot do rujur in their iddah, nor can he do nikah with the woman after their iddah. Because we see that when the man pronounces the divorce, which is irrevocable, the first and second, then during their iddah, he can do rujur. And if their iddah has passed, the man and woman have been divorced, they're living separately, and later on they realize it was a mistake, then they can get back together. How? That a new nikah will take place. But if it is the third divorce, then what does it mean? That during their iddah, the man cannot do rujur, and after their iddah, there can be no nikah between them. They're absolutely haram upon each other. فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ. She is not permissible for him, she is not lawful for him afterwards ever. Hatta until, meaning until after. There is only one situation in which the man and woman can come together after talaqul ba'in. And what is that situation? That hatta tankiha, until she marries. Who marries? The woman marries, because ta refers to she. So until the woman marries zawjan, a husband, ghayrahu, other than him. Other than who? Other than the first husband. So basically, the man and woman will be separated. They're absolutely haram upon each other. They cannot get married either. Unless if a woman marries another man after she gets divorced from the first husband, and then she marries another man, obviously after the completion of their iddah, because she cannot get married during iddah, then what's going to happen? After the completion of iddah, then she can marry the ex-husband, the former husband. And remember that tankiha is from nikah. Remember the literal meaning of the word nikah? What does it mean? Jima. It means sexual intercourse. And the word nikah is also used for marriage contract. Over here, nikah does not just refer to a legal contract or just legal documents that are signed. No. It means that the woman married another man legally, and they lived with each other as well. There was the consummation of marriage as well, and they married with the intention of permanence. They married with the intention of living together, not just to be able to return to the former husband. Okay? Because the word nikah has been used, and nikah is not just used for marriage contract, it is also used for sexual intercourse. So the marriage has to be consummated. So after the final talaq, the wife is no longer halal for the man. They cannot get back together except in one case, which is that the second husband whom the woman marries after, he either dies or he gives divorce. And then after their iddah, she may marry the former husband. We learn from a hadith that Aisha radhiyallahu anha said that Allah's Messenger was asked about a woman who marries a man who thereafter divorces her, and this divorce refers to the final divorce. She then marries another man and he divorces her before he has sexual relations with her. The second husband, what does he do? He divorces a woman before having sexual relations with her. Would she be allowed for her first husband? Allah's Messenger ﷺ said, no, she will not be allowed for the first husband until he enjoys her usayla, meaning until he enjoys her sexually. And this is a hadith that is reported in both Bukhari and Muslim. So we see that if a woman gets divorced and she gets married to another man just so that she can get back to the first husband, if that is the intention, then this kind of marriage is not permissible. This kind of marriage is not permissible at all. So the second marriage has to be a genuine marriage. And the talaq that is given to the woman for her second marriage also has to be for a genuine reason. It has to be a genuine talaq. It shouldn't be just fulfilling some formality so that a woman can remarry the previous husband, the first husband. And if a person does this, that a woman, she marries another man just so that she can get back to the first husband, this process, which is known as halala, this is completely forbidden. Halala is completely forbidden. What is halala? That a woman, after final divorce, marries another man just so that she can be divorced and she can get back to the first husband. This process, halala, it is completely forbidden, and the man and woman who do this, both of them are cursed. The man and woman who are involved in this, meaning the second husband, they're both cursed. They both deserve the curse of Allah. We learn from a hadith that is reported in Musnad Ahmad, Imam Ahmad reports, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that Allah's Messenger ﷺ cursed the one who does tahleel, the one in whose favor it is done. He cursed who? The one who does tahleel and the one in whose favor it is done. So who all are cursed? The former husband, the new husband, and the woman as well. Those who eat riba and those who feed it as well. So all of these people are cursed. And this hadith is hasan. We learn that a man once came to Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and he asked him about a man who divorced his wife 3 times. And then his brother married her to make tahleel for his brother without the brother knowing this fact. Do you understand what's going on? That a man divorced his wife 3 times. Then obviously what does that mean? They're done. They're finished. The relationship between them is completely over. They cannot get back together. So the man's brother, what did he do? He married the ex-wife. Why? So that the woman could marry her former husband. And the brother did not know about this fact. He then asked, is she allowed for the first husband? And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, unless it is a marriage that involves desire. We used to consider this an act of adultery during the time of Allah's Messenger. They considered this an act of adultery. They didn't consider this to be nikah at all. And it is said that Umar radiallahu anhu said that if the participants to tahleel are brought to me, I will have them stoned. I will give them the punishment of zina. So the commands of Allah are very clear, and they cannot be misused. They should not be misused. They should not be used incorrectly. فَإِن طَلَّقَهَا, then if he divorced her, who divorced her? The second husband divorced the woman. فَلَا جِنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمَا, then there is no sin upon them too. Upon who too? The original couple. The former husband and the divorced woman. There is no sin upon them too. أَن يَتَرَاجَعَا, that both of them return to each other. يَتَرَاجَعَا is from رُجُعُ, رَاجِمْ عَيْن. What does it mean by يَتَرَاجَعَا? That both of them return to their relationship of nikah. That after their iddah is over, then what happens? Both of them do nikah. There is absolutely no harm. They shouldn't feel guilty. There is no sin in this. But there is a condition. They should only get back together in ظَنَّا, if both of them are certain. Both of them are certain about what? أَن يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ, that they will maintain and establish the limit set by Allah. What does the word ظَن mean? To think, to assume. And remember, when it's followed by أَن, it means to be certain, to be sure. So they should only get back together if they're certain that they can fulfill the rights and responsibilities to each other. Because if they're going to go back to the same arguments, the same fights, the same situation, then there is no point in getting married. There is no point in getting married. Many times we see that there is a clash between a man and woman. They're separated, or they're divorced, or the woman is upset. There is no divorce, but she goes to her parents' house, and the man comes and says, come back, we'll fix the situation. But the situation is not fixed. If the situation that was causing the fights in the first place is not fixed, then what's the point of getting together? What's the point? You have to fix the situation first. So إِن ظَنَّا أَن يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ, only then they should get back together. وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ, and these are the limits set by Allah. What does تِلْكَ refer to? All of these commands that have been mentioned over here, the above mentioned commands, such as that لا تحل له من بعد, or حتى تنكح زوج غيره, or إن ظن أن يقيم حدود الله. So these are what? The limits that Allah has set, meaning these are the commands that Allah has given. يُبَيِّنُهَا, He makes them very clear for who? لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ, for people who know. So it is only those people who have knowledge who can benefit from the commands of Allah. We see so many injustices being done, especially between a husband and wife. Why? Because they don't know. They don't know what the rights are, they don't know what the responsibilities are. And sometimes, when there is a divorce that is going on, still, there is so much injustice. Why? Because they don't know what the commands of Allah are. They have no idea. So these commands are only going to benefit who? For those people who have knowledge of these commands. Also we see that لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ, for people who know, this has been understood as that those people who know that the command of Allah is in fact the best command, is in fact the truth. Because only when a person is certain that whatever my Rabb has commanded is best for me, then he can benefit from the commands. And if he's doubtful, if he's shaky, if he's unsure, then he cannot benefit from them. He will not apply them. So, وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ يُبَيِّنُهَا لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. Let's listen to the recitation.
فَإِن طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِن بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرَهُ فَإِن طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَن يَتَرَاجَعَا إِن ظَنَّا أَن يُقِيمَا حُدُودَ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ يُبَيِّنُهَا لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ.
So we see that marriage is something that is very serious in Islam. A person cannot just say that he's married and he can do whatever he wants now. No, he has to observe the hudud of Allah throughout his marriage. And if the marriage is being terminated, then even then he has to observe the hudud of Allah. Because it is something very serious. And many times people get married without educating themselves about marriage. And when they walk into this relationship without any knowledge, then they bring harm upon themselves. They make mistakes and they make their own lives difficult for themselves. Anything that you do in life, you have to educate yourself about it. Ilm is very important, and marriage is one of them. For marriage, knowledge is extremely important, because they will only benefit who? لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ, for those people who know. So if the man gave divorce to the woman two times already, and if he gives the divorce a third time, then obviously the man and woman cannot get back together. Unless if a woman, by chance, she gets married to another person, and by chance he divorces her, and then she gets married to the next husband. And if the man marries another woman, that's different. A man can marry another woman while he's married to her as well. Okay, that's completely different. The woman, she will marry somebody else, and she will be divorced, and then she will marry that man. Why? Because the woman is being made halal for the man. The woman is being made halal for the man when he gives a mahar, when he marries her. But when he divorces her three times, he cannot just say, okay, I'll marry you again. No, this cannot happen. What else do we learn from this ayah? There is a difference of opinion as to whether khul' or fasq. Fasq is the termination of a nikah. So some consider it to be fasq, others consider it to be khul', that a woman is asking for the divorce and then man gives a divorce in return. And fasq is that the woman asks and the man does not give, so the law nullifies the marriage. Remember that whenever there is a difference of opinion with regards to something, for example the issue of if the man gives divorce to his wife in one sitting, he pronounces the divorce three times. If you look at it, Umar radhiyallahu anhu, he made the decision that if a man pronounces a divorce three times, what is he going to do? He's going to consider that to be three divorces. Why? Because people were playing with the ayat of Allah, and it was just the beginning. It was right after the time of the Prophet ﷺ. If he did not make the punishment so harsh, then what would happen? There would be so much difficulty. But we see that other scholars later on, They said that that was only for that particular time, and then afterwards it's going to be considered as one divorce only. And this is with regards to many other punishments or many other legal rulings as well. It's not just with regards to this issue. And with regards to that also, there's a difference of opinion. Some say that after khul, because it is fasakh, it is a termination of nikah, then both cannot remarry ever after that. And others say that no, it's considered as divorce only, and they can get married together. There's a difference of opinion with regards to that as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ, and when you have divorced the women. And this talaq refers to the raj'i talaq, the revocable divorce. فَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَهُنَّ, then they have reached their awaited term. بَلَغْنَا, the noon at the end indicates feminine. And balagha literally means to reach the end of something, the completion of something. And the word balagha or baligh or bulugh, what does it mean? To reach maturity, to reach puberty. So, فَبَلَغْنَا أَجَلَهُنَّ, when they have reached their awaited term. The word ajal is from the root letters hamza jim lam. And the word ajal is understood in two ways. First of all, it is said that ajal is a time period. What is it? A time period. So for example, 2 months, 3 months. Over here, the time period would refer to their iddah, the duration of their iddah. Secondly, it is said that the word ajal actually means a specific point of time. It refers to a specified time. It's a moment. It's a point in time. And it's called ajal because it is fixed. Just as a time period is limited, similarly, this moment in time is also fixed. It is appointed. Which is why death is also called ajal. So basically we see that ajal is a time period or the end of a time period. Over here, when the women have been divorced, and it refers to the revocable divorce, when they reach their time, what does it mean by their time? It refers to their iddah. And by reaching their iddah means they reach the end of their iddah. And over here it means that their iddah is almost over. When you divorce the women and they have almost reached the end of their iddah, their iddah is about to be over. The completion is very near. So for example, their iddah of the woman when she's divorced is 3 quru, 3 menstrual cycles, 3 menstrual periods. So when she begins her third period, what does that mean? That their iddah is going to end very soon. It's just a matter of a few days. So when their iddah is about to end, then the man is being told that amsikuhunna, make up your mind, either retain them bima'roof, in a manner that is approved, aw sarrihuhunna bima'roof, or release them in a manner that is approved. Meaning decide. Decide quickly as to what you're going to do. If you want to keep her, then you have to keep her in a manner that is approved. And what is that manner that is approved? That you do rujur to her during her iddah. And afterwards you should live in a manner that is appropriate. And if you don't wish to live with her, then let their iddah come to an end. And then once their iddah comes to an end, then sadrihuhunna bima'roof, then release them in a manner that is appropriate. Previously it was said bi ihsan. Now it has been said bima'roof, because ihsan and ma'roof both have to be done. Ma'roof, you have to follow that which is acceptable, you have to do that which is acceptable. But ihsan, you have to take the extra step to be extra nice, to be extra kind, because a woman is being sent away. So how is the talaq given? We see that talaq is to be given in a state of purity. What does it mean by state of purity? That a woman is not menstruating. The woman is not in her period at that time. And in that period of purity, since her last period, since her last menstruation, no sexual relations were established between the man and the woman. So basically, a man cannot do that a woman is in her period and he says that I divorce you. This is incorrect. This is bid'i talaq. This is not masnoon talaq. Similarly, a woman had her period. Now she's pure. Now she's clean. And during this period of cleanliness, the man had sexual relations with her. During this period of cleanliness, he cannot give her divorce. He cannot. It should be at a time that she is clean, and it should be at a time that he has not enjoyed her sexually. So we see that talaq is to be given in a state of purity. And a man is going to pronounce the words of divorce, or he's going to write them, or whatever. And it has to be very clear that I divorce you. And when the woman is given this divorce, then she is not going to leave the house of her husband. For how long? For 3 menstrual cycles. And the iddah begins from the day that the man gave the talaq. It begins from the day that the man pronounced the words of talaq. Now some say that as soon as a 3rd menstrual cycle begins, their iddah is over. Some say that as soon as a 3rd menstrual period begins, their iddah is over. Why? Because during the menstruation, you can't do rujur. You can't have sexual contact with the woman. That's forbidden. And others say that when the 3rd menstrual cycle is completed, when the 3rd period is over, then their iddah is terminated. Because according to some scholars, rujur does not necessarily mean that sexual intercourse has to be done, but rather it means that through any gesture, through any physical contact, rujur can be done. So for example, a man hugs his wife or anything like that, it is permissible. So basically, when does the iddah end? Either as soon as the 3rd period begins or at the end of the 3rd period. Now if rujur was done during the iddah, the man and woman stay together. But if rujur was not done, the man did not take his wife back during the iddah, then what's going to happen? The wife is going to leave the house of the husband. And how is she going to go? How is she going to be sent away? In a manner that is appropriate, in a manner that is acceptable, with ihsan, with generosity, with kindness. وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ And do not keep them, ضِرَارًا, in order to harm them. ضِرَارًا is from the root letters ضَاد رَا رَا ضَرَر. And what does ضَرَر mean? Injury, harm, suffering. But the word that is used over here is dirar. And dirar is to harm another, or to harm each other. What does it mean? To harm someone else, or to harm each other. Over here, وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ ضِرَارًا Do not keep them intending harm. Do not keep them in order to harm them. What does it mean by this? That once you have pronounced the divorce, then don't do rujur so that you can do more harm on her. What would that harm be? That a person, he divorces her again, or he does not fix the situation. Or previously, what was the practice? That a man would divorce her, he would do rujur in their iddah, and then again he would divorce her, and this would continue for the rest of the life. So لا تمسكوهن الضرار. Do not keep them to harm. And sometimes, people do rujur, some men, they do rujur to the woman, they take her back, and they continue to harm her, so that she is forced to take the khut, so that she is forced to return the mahr and go away. So over here, the men are being told that وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ ضِرَارًا Do not keep them in order to harm them, لِتَعْتَدُوا So that you all transgress. And like this, you will be overstepping the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ And whoever does that, whoever does what? That he does rujur to the woman, he keeps her only so that he can continue to harm her. Whoever does that, what is he doing? فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ In fact, he is harming who? Himself. Because usually, what do people think? We'll keep her, and we'll torture her. We'll abuse her. We won't give her what she wants. Until she is forced to take khul. And many times in this situation, people feel very powerful. They have a sense of pride that I can do whatever I want. And she is suffering. What does Allah say? Whoever does that, he is doing zulm upon himself. Yes, he is doing zulm upon the woman, but actually he is doing zulm upon himself. How? By exposing himself to the punishment of Allah. By exposing himself to the punishment of Allah. We learn from a hadith that is mentioned in At-Tirmidhi, مَنْ ضَارَّ ضَارَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَمَنْ شَاقَّ شَاقَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever causes a harm to a believer, Allah harms him. Whoever causes difficulty to them, Allah will make his way difficult. So any person who tries to create difficulty for another, who tries to harm the other, who harms him? Allah harms him. Who makes things difficult for him? Allah makes things difficult for him. So don't keep the women only to harm them. And if you do that, you're harming yourself. Therefore, a person should not keep his wife just to give her trouble, just to make her life difficult. Reconciliation should be done with the intention of islah. As we learned earlier, in ظَنَّ أَن يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. They should only come back together if they think that they can fulfill the hudud of Allah. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. And do not make the verses of Allah a ridicule. Do not take them in ridicule. What does it mean by ayat over here? Ayat over here refers to specific ayat, which are the commands, the rulings pertaining to divorce. So do not take them in huzuan. Do not mock at them. Others have said that ayat over here, as we can see, it's not just in the specific sense, but in the general sense as well. Not just the rulings pertaining to divorce, but rulings pertaining to salah, rulings pertaining to hajj, to zakat, and not just ayat that are shari, but also ayat kauni. Do not make a mockery of them. Do not take them in mockery. What does huzuwa mean? Yastahzi'un. What does this istihza mean? To mock at someone. Why? Upon thinking them to be strange, upon thinking them to be khilaful aql. When something doesn't make sense to a person, what does he do? He starts mocking at it. He starts making fun of it. So over here, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوَى. What does it mean by this? If we take ayat to be the specific commands pertaining to divorce, do not take them in mockery. How? By going against them. By misusing the right to divorce. By misusing the right to divorce. That, for example, a man continues to treat his wife harshly, does not give divorce to her, so that she is forced to take khul. What is this? Misusing the right to divorce. That you have the right to divorce and you're not giving it. Why? Just so that she takes the khul. So what is this? This is mockery. This is making fun of the ayat of Allah. And in the general sense, how can we understand this? That when people complain about, for example, rain or the weather, and sometimes people joke about the rain, people joke about the weather, people joke about the snow. Did it really have to snow today? Is there really so much water? Sometimes we say, do we really deserve all of this mercy? Sometimes people say things like that. So don't make fun of the ayat of Allah. And also, if you think of it, the issue of pronouncing divorce 3 or more times in one situation, that is also what? Mocking at the commands of Allah. The command is marra ba'da marra. One time after another, one instance after another. What does a man do? Divorce, divorce, divorce. So what is this? Mocking at the ayat of Allah. And we see that mocking at the ayat of Allah is the way of the hypocrites. It's not the way of the believer. The munafiqeen are the ones who mock at the ayat of Allah. In Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 65, we read, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And if you ask them, they will surely say, we were only conversing and playing. We were only talking, we were only chatting, and we were only having some fun. Say that is it Allah and His verses and His messenger that you were mocking? You couldn't find anything else to mock at? You couldn't find anything else to play with? The only thing that you can play with is the ayat of Allah? The only thing that you can misuse is the ayat of Allah. What is this? I mentioned to you the hadith about the man who pronounced divorce to his wife 3 times, and the Prophet ﷺ became extremely upset. And what did he say? أَيُّلْعَبُ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَا بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِكُمْ. Is the book of Allah being played with? أَيُّلْعَبُ from لَعِب. Are you playing with the verses of Allah? Are you playing with the book of Allah while I am amongst you? And we know that a man at that time, he got up and he said that, O Prophet ﷺ, should I kill this man? Should I kill this man? Who? The one who said divorce to his wife 3 times in one sitting, in one situation. Don't make the ayat of Allah a mockery. Some scholars have said that over here, mockery means, for example, Abu Darda, he said that it refers to expressions like, a man would say to his wife, you are divorced and I am only joking. Because sometimes people say harsh statements just for fun, just to see the reaction of the other. Let me see how she reacts if I say to her, I divorce you. I don't really mean it. I'm only joking. So, over here the command is that do not even say this while joking. Because it has been said that there are 3 things which, whether done in joke or by intention, if a person does them jokingly or by intention, they shall be considered serious and effectual. What are they? Marriage, divorce, and taking a wife back. Rujur. That if a person does this while joking, or a person does this while he's serious, still it will be affected. Meaning it's serious and they will be effectual. So لا تتخذوا آيات الله هزوا. Do not make a mockery of the ayat of Allah. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. And remember the ni'mah of Allah upon you. Remember the blessing of Allah upon you. What is the dhikr of a blessing? Being grateful for that blessing. Remember we learned earlier about the Bani Israel. اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةِ. What does it mean by dhikr? Be grateful. So وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Be grateful for the blessing of Allah upon you. Which blessing? Which blessing is this? It refers to specific blessing and also general blessing. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ. Whatever blessing that you have, it is from who? It is from Allah. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the blessings of Allah, you cannot count them. So in the general sense, be grateful for the blessings of Allah. And part of being grateful is observing the commands of Allah. Doing what Allah tells you to do. Observing the commands of Allah properly. Allah has given you so much, and you won't follow the commands properly? Allah has given you so much. Everything you have is from Allah. And the commands that He has given you, you will not observe them properly? This is not shukr. This is not the appropriate behavior. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. And also if we think of it, marriage, having a spouse, is a blessing. It's a big blessing. There are so many people who are striving to get married, who are striving to look for a good spouse. And even if they are married, they're striving for a healthy relationship, for a good relationship. And you have a good relationship, and you're joking with your wife, I divorce you. This is not shukr. What kind of a joke is this? Because we see that when a person jokes like this, then what is he doing? He's affecting his relationship. Imagine if the woman gets very upset. You were only joking. But the woman gets very upset, and she takes it to heart. How will she feel? So insecure for the rest of her life. So be grateful for the blessing of Allah upon you. The specific blessings and the general blessings as well. And especially which blessing? وَمَا أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And especially remember the blessing of that which Allah has sent down upon you. What is it that Allah has sent down upon you? The kitab, meaning the Qur'an and all of the commandments in it. وَالْحِكْمَةِ and the wisdom. What does the hikmah refer to? The way of the Prophet ﷺ. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. His teachings, his instructions. The non-Qur'anic wahi. So also remember that. Also be grateful for that. Meaning observe all of that properly. Observe all of these instructions properly. So we see over here that the specific blessing that has been given to the believers is that of Qur'an and sunnah. It is that of knowledge. We learn in the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. What is the ni'mah? What is the blessing? The religion of Islam. The teachings that Allah has given. The Qur'an that Allah has given. That is a blessing. Similarly, the coming of the Messenger is also a huge blessing. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah has bestowed a huge favor upon the believers when He sent a messenger from among themselves. So, the blessing of the deen, the blessing of the Qur'an, the blessing of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, what are they? They're great blessings. They're huge blessings. And we should be grateful for them. Just imagine, anything that you know you've been given and it is a blessing, how is your reaction towards it? What is your reaction towards it? You value it. For example, you have a car, you have a house, you have children. What do you say? When you say Alhamdulillah, what do you think of? The blessings that you've been given, right? You think of your children, you think of your spouse, you think of your car, you think of your money, you think of your health. So when we think of any blessing, we are grateful for those blessings. And we think about using them. We think about benefiting from them. But what is the blessing that Allah has mentioned over here specifically? The blessing of Qur'an and Sunnah. Take this as a blessing as well. We take the Qur'an and Sunnah to be a burden. We don't consider them to be blessings at all. Because if we consider them to be blessings, then our approach would be completely different. We would learn about it. We would try to implement it properly. So also remember this huge blessing that Allah has given. And if you notice, this has been mentioned right in the middle of the rulings pertaining to talaq, rulings pertaining to divorce. That also remember the commands of Allah, also implement the commands of Allah in this situation, when you're overwhelmed by your emotions. And also we think of it, when a person lives by the Qur'an and Sunnah, when a person takes guidance from the Qur'an and Sunnah, then it benefits him in his family life, in his personal life. Our personal lives, our family lives cannot be peaceful unless and until we learn and implement the Qur'an and Sunnah. If we stay away from the guidance that Allah has given us, we cannot be happy in our personal lives. We cannot be happy in our societal lives. So remember this blessing and implement the Qur'an and Sunnah. يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ. He instructs all of you with it. With what? With the Qur'an. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. And fear Allah. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. And know that Allah is knowing of every single thing, including all of your circumstances. So nothing is hidden from Him. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows about the commands that He has revealed that you are supposed to implement, and He knows as to what you are doing. So fear Allah with regards to this matter. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ سَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَا أَنْزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ.
Many times in these situations, people forget Allah. People don't think about what they're doing. They're driven by their emotions. They're driven by their hearts. And they forget about the commands that Allah has given. And they forget about the fact that Allah is watching every action of theirs. So yes, they can do zulm upon the other and get more benefit, oppress the other, take all of their revenge, satisfy their hearts, take all the benefits. But at the end of the day, Allah knows everything and He will give you what you deserve. So in this situation, a person should not forget Allah.